If you are new to us and happened to be here last week, you didn't see me up here. You saw Val. She was teaching last week because I also work at Safeway and I'm the bakery manager there. And every fourth Sunday, I have to do inventory. So I can't be here. So she filled in for me last week, but I'm back. And two weeks ago, I was speaking and I was talking about what's known as the Aaronic blessing or the priestly blessing. It's the blessing that God told Moses to tell Aaron to give to the people of Israel. And it goes this way. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance to you and give you peace. And one of my developed passions in life has become learning Hebrew. Because all of our Old Testament is in Hebrew. And I wanted to be able to start to understand the scriptures a little bit better by reading them in their original language. And, well, let me put it this way. Knowing all of Hebrew is the road from here to Anchorage, I know how to get to Safeway. That's how far I know. So I'm on my way to learning more, but I love it. I really enjoy it. So if you're new to us, you'll get to hear a little bit of Hebrew. If you've been with us for a long time and come on a regular basis, you've heard me talk a lot about Hebrew and about the origins of our Old Testament in its original language. Our faith, God laid out the plan that he had before the creation of the world to reunify man with himself when man fell. He laid that out from the beginning. It wasn't something new that, let me think. This isn't working. That's not working. So I'll send my son to die on the cross for you. No, he had planned that before the creation of the world because he foreknew that man was going to sin and fall and be separated from him because of the sin. He wasn't happy with that. He didn't want that to be the end result. So from the beginning, before the creation of the world, he planned to send his son to die on the cross for us, to be the punishment for our sins, to take on the punishment on himself for our sins, so that we could have the relationship that he had planned for us between us and him from the very beginning. So this morning I want to talk a little bit about, I talked 2 weeks ago about how the blessing that he gave Moses to give to Aaron, to give to the children of Israel, looking at it from its Hebrew roots, looking at it from the Hebrew language, we see some things that we don't often see when we read it from the English. And I'm going to touch on that a little bit because if you weren't here then, some of the things I say today won't make a lot of sense. Hopefully everything will make sense in spite of that, but sometimes I don't always make a lot of sense, but I'll try. The title of my message today is You Are Faithful. And in Hebrew, that would be Atah Nima'im. And it isn't talking about us being faithful to God, but God being faithful in his promises he has made to us. And I want to examine his faithfulness a little bit in light of our salvation, in light of his relationship with us. And so in order to do that, I'm stepping back into what I was teaching 2 weeks ago, a little bit about the priestly blessing. Now, when we read that, we read, "May the Lord bless you and keep you." And I'm going to stop right there, because there's an important word in Hebrew. That's the word Baruch in Hebrew, which means, often is translated as blessing. But the basis of that word comes from a root word that means to kneel down. In 2 weeks, I talked about it. If I am a dad, and I am a dad, and when my daughter was very young, she was much shorter than she is now. And to talk to her, I had to look down. This Hebrew word that's translated as blessing, the origin of that word means to kneel down. And so when God is saying to Moses to give to Aaron, to give to the people of Israel, bless them, it brings about the picture of a father kneeling down before their child, getting eye to eye with them, looking them in the face. And we talked a little bit about that 2 weeks ago, and I want to move on from there and say, if we think about this, it doesn't only say, talk about getting down, kneeling down here, but it goes on to say, may he make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance to you. Now, the word countenance there is the same word that we see up above where it's translated, may the Lord make his face to shine upon you. So it would be the same as saying, the Lord lift up his face to you. In this blessing, it's talking a lot about face-to-face relationship. And if we think back to the time when the children of Israel left Egypt, God took them out of the bondage of slavery in Egypt and brought them into the wilderness on their way to the promised land. And in the wilderness, Moses would go to the tabernacle, or he'd go to the tent of meeting. This was just before the tabernacle was built. And he would meet with God face to face. One of the verses that I included in my message, or in my notes for the message last week, was the verse that talked about Moses spoke with God face to face as one speaks to a friend. And here we see the blessing that God is giving to the children of Israel is the idea of being able to speak face to face with him, about God coming down face to face with us. And if we look at the blessing that God gave us, is that he came and dwelt among us and looked us face to face in the form of Jesus, in the form of the Messiah who came to give his life for us, that we could have that relationship face to face. And I think what God is getting at here when he's talking to Moses, to Aaron, to the children of Israel, he's saying, what I desire is to have a love relationship with you. What I desire is to be able to look face to face with you and have that relationship that I had with Adam and Eve before they sinned, that I designed to have with mankind, that your sin has blocked, but that I desire to restore. And so as we read the Aaronic blessing or the priestly blessing, what I want to see out of that is that God wants to bless us by having that face-to-face relationship with us. God wants to bless us by no longer being separated from us because of our sin, but just restoring that relationship because of the blood of Jesus Christ, because Christ shed his blood to pay the penalty that we owed for our sin. So I want to take that to the next step and talk about God's faithfulness in that desire to have the relationship with us, in that desire to bless us. So let's look at one phrase in the 23rd Psalm. If we remember that when Scripture was written, it didn't come in chapter and verses. It was just written out. And the 23rd Psalm was one specific poem written by David to show us the heart of the Father, to show us who God was and how much He loved us. We've divided it into verses, and it makes it easier to find stuff. But the last verse in the 23rd Psalms says, "Surely goodness and loving kindness will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." So when we want to talk about God's faithfulness, I love this verse because there's a Hebrew word in this verse that in the generally in translations, we kind of miss a little bit about what it's saying. And that's a word that we translate as follows. The Hebrew word is yardafuni. And it doesn't really mean follow. Because when I think of follow, I think of somebody leading and somebody just coming quietly behind. But almost every place in Scripture that this Hebrew word yardafuni is translated, it's translated in the relationship of an enemy pursuing an enemy. Somebody chasing the enemy down in the hills or in the valleys and running after them. The word means to pursue or to run after. And here God is saying, here you are walking away from me. But my love and my goodness, my hesed, which is another Hebrew word, which is very hard to translate into English because it has a lot of different facets to the word, a lot of different concepts. But basically it means loving kindness, mercy, grace. And God's saying, my grace is going to run after you and overtake you. This is the desire I have for you, to shed my grace on you, to give my love to you, to bring you into a loving relationship with me. So let me reread this as yardafuni, not being followed, but being pursued. Surely goodness and loving kindness will pursue me all the days of my life. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. I will get to dwell with Him forever. Because, not because of anything I did, not because I was good or I followed all the rules or I was right in my own being, but because He loved me so much, in spite of my rebellion, in spite of my walking away from Him, He ran after me to embrace me in His love, in His mercy, in His grace. What an awesome God we have, that we rejected His goodness. We rejected His love through sin, but He raced to pursue us and to overtake us, to give us His love. Ephesians 2:8-9 puts it this way, "For by grace have you been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, and not of works, lest any man should boast. This isn't about how good we can be. This isn't about how if we follow all the rules, if we do all the things that are prescribed for us, if we follow the law, that God will have pity on us, that God will show us favor. He knew we couldn't achieve, so he did it for us. There's an Old Testament story of Abraham making a covenant with God. Of God making a covenant with Abraham. And when he made this covenant, it was a practice of the day. When you made a covenant, okay, now covenant, basically contract. He made a contract. You go to the bank, you're going to buy a car, you sit down and you sign your life away and you make a contract if you're borrowing money or buying a house. Same concept. God made a covenant with Abraham. The practice of the day was that you took a certain number of animals and you split them in half and laid them one half on one side, one half on the other side, with a little pathway in between them. And the two people that were making the covenant would walk together between them. And this was a way of saying, if you don't follow through with the covenant, if you don't keep your end of the bargain, either side, then may the same thing happen to you that happened to these animals. When God made the covenant with Abraham, Abraham took the prescribed animals, sacrificed them, and cut them in two, laid them apart. But when it came time to walk between them, Abraham fell into a deep sleep, and God walked by himself through them. And this was, from what I understand, God's way of saying, I know, Abraham, that you do not have the strength to follow through with this covenant. So I'm going to do it for you. It all rests on me. It doesn't rest on you. The loving relationship that I want to have with you, Abraham, is not based on what you can do, but it's based on what I will do for you. When Jesus came, he came to show God's love to us and then to die on the cross for us, because he knew that there was nothing that we could do to merit God's favor. There was nothing that we could do to earn righteousness. Nothing that we could do to pay the penalty for the sin. And the penalty for sin is death. So he took that penalty upon himself. My desire today in teaching was to take the blessing that God gave to the children of Israel, and it extends beyond just the Israelites, just beyond the Jews, to all mankind. And to say, okay, what does that mean for us today? And what it means for us today is that when the Messiah came, when Jesus came as the Messiah, as our Savior, as the Christ, he came to be the answer of that blessing. He came to represent that blessing that Moses gave to the children of Israel. He came to establish that face-to-face, that I want to shine my face upon you. I want to lift up my countenance to you and give you peace. And it's through Him that we are saved. It's through Him that we can have a relationship with God that was broken by sin. So what does that mean for us today? If you know the Lord as your Savior, our desire then is to be more like Him. Our desire is to walk closer with Him. Our desire is to grow in our faith and become more mature. So where does that rest? And I want to take a look at some of the things that Paul said as he talked about his relationship with his children, with God's children, God with His children. Are you okay? I'm sorry, I just got very distracted. If you know Trish, she had a terrible accident a few years back and had pins put in her leg, and just recently she had them taken out, and I think she just had a little bit of pain with that. No, that's okay. Anyway, getting back to where I was at. So as we walk with our Savior, if we have trusted Jesus to be our Savior, if we have placed our faith in Him, because God gave His Son to die on the cross for our sins, and what He expects of us is nothing more than to place our faith in Him, to trust His promise for our salvation, to trust His promise that His sin would cover, or His sacrifice would cover our sin. So we're saved by faith. And for many of us, after we're saved by faith, we say, okay, I'm saved by faith. Now I'm going to grow to be more like Him by my works. I'm going to do everything that's right. I'm going to. But when it comes down to it, we are still weak. We are still living in this body of flesh, even though we have been made new through Christ's sacrifice, through Christ coming into our life when we trust Him as our Savior. When we trust Christ as our Savior, He creates a new person out of us. He gets rid of the sin and makes us new. But to be more like Him doesn't mean that then we start following the rules and we start doing what is good. And Paul was dealing with this with a church in Galatia who placed their faith in the individuals in the church, placed their faith in Christ to be their Savior. And then a group of Jews came and said, well, now you have to start living by the law. Now you have to start following the law. He said, God, wash away my sin. Okay, now follow the law. And Paul said, am I back on? Hey, there we go again. All right. Now, I think this was my granddaughter's doing. She said, I've been trying to get him to shut up for years. Now I figured out how to do it. Where was I? So in Paul's dealing with the Galatian people, even though they trusted Christ to be their Savior, even though they realized it wasn't by works that they are saved, the Judaizers, the Jews that came in and started working on this church, started saying, you need to now follow the law. And Paul answers this by a quote in Galatians chapter 2, verses 20 through 3:3. He says, I have been crucified with Christ, and it is no longer I that live, but Christ lives in me. In the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself up for me. I do not nullify the grace of God, for if righteousness comes through the law, then Christ died needlessly. O foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you, before whose eyes Christ Jesus was publicly portrayed as crucified? This is the only thing that I want to find out from you. Did you receive the Spirit by works of the law or by hearing with faith? Are you so foolish, having begun by the Spirit? Are you now being perfected by the flesh? And what Paul is saying to the Galatians to the Galatian people is, you placed your trust, you placed your faith in Christ to take away your sin by his blood on the cross. And now you're trying to add to it by your own goodness. What God desires is your love. What God desires is your heart. What God desires is that relationship with you. It's not by your works. It's all by your faith that Christ is the Son of the living God, and that he died and his blood washed away your sin. Now let's walk together. Let's live in a love relationship with each other. The law was never placed in Scripture to be the means by which we could merit God's favor. It was to point out that we were sinners in need of a Savior. It was to point out that we could not do it by ourselves. The man who started this church, Larry Huntsberger, had this really very creative way of explaining this. And he would say, okay, now for the next few minutes, I'm going to give you a command. Do not touch the chair in front of you. Now, what did that do to everybody that just heard it? It made them desire to touch the chair in front of you. And he used that to explain that the purpose of the law was to show you who you really were. To show you that you were in rebellion to God through sin. And that our heart issue was not to follow God, but our heart issue was to walk away from God. Our heart issue was to do our own thing. And God showed us how sinful we really were by saying, do not. Do not. Just like Larry used to say, do not touch that chair in front of you. What does our mind automatically go to? I got to touch that. If you want to, you can touch the chair in front of you. The law was never intended to make us righteous. The law was never intended to make us good. It never had that power. It was to show us who we were and to show us the need for Christ to be our redemption, for Christ to be the one to whom we could turn for the forgiveness of our sin, because he paid the price. Now all we have to do is trust him, that he is sufficient for that. Because I don't know about you, but my feet run to destruction. Even though my heart has been remade, it has been turned from a heart of stone to a heart of flesh. even though God has redeemed me, He has bought me back out of sin, I still live in this fleshly body. Romans 7:19 through 8:5 says, "For the good that I want to do, I do not practice, but the very evil that I do not want, I do. But if I am doing the very thing I do not want, I am no longer the one doing it, but sin which dwells in me. I find then that the principle of evil is present in me, the one who wants to do good. For I joyfully concur with the law of God in the inner man, but I see a different law in the members of my body, waging war against the law of my mind and making me a prisoner to the law of sin, which is in my members. Wretched man that I am," and I can really relate to that phrase, "wretched man that I am, who will set me free from this body, from the body of this death? Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then, on the one hand, I myself with my mind am serving the law of God, but on the other, with my flesh, the law of sin. Therefore, there is now no condemnation." There's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. "For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set you free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, weak as it was through the flesh, God did, sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and as an offering for sin, He condemned sin in the flesh, so that the requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For those who are according to the flesh have set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who are according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit." As we look at God's faithfulness, God is faithful, knowing that we are not capable of pleasing Him of ourselves. So He does it through us. He does it for us. He does it by His blood He shed on the cross for us. He does it by living His life in us, those of us who have trusted in Him to be our Savior. The Old Testament speaks of His faithfulness by saying, "Your loving kindness, O God, extends to the heavens. Your faithfulness reaches to the sky. Your righteousness is like the mountains of God. Your judgments are like the great deep. O Lord, You preserve man and beast. How precious is Your loving kindness, O God. And the children of men take refuge under the shadow of Your wings." And what a beautiful picture He paints. He's going to cover you like a hen covers its chicks. He's going to protect you from the sinful nature, from the rebellion that we lived in. He's going to cover you with His love. Psalm 36 goes on to say in verse 10, "O continue Your loving kindness to those who know You, and Your righteousness to the upright in heart." And I want to point out another Greek word that when it says upright of heart, it means righteous of heart. And if we remember what God said to Abraham, that Abraham believed God, and that was counted for righteousness. So in this verse, it's saying for those who believe God, that's righteousness. And His faith, His kind, loving kindness is going to extend to those who believe Him. As I look at it, I see that the bond that anchors us to God is not the weak thread of our ability to merit His favor, but it's the sturdy steel cable of His grace. God didn't have to do this. God didn't have to die for us, but He chose to die for us because He loved us so much. God didn't have to live out His life in us, in a loving relationship with us, but He chose to, because He is love, because His love required it. If you don't know Christ as your Savior, I pray that you'll understand that we are a rebellious, wicked people. And Paul in chapter 3, he says, speaking as a believer, he says, what then, are we better than they? Not at all, for we have already charged that both Jews and Greeks are under the same sin, as it is written. He's saying, I'm still living in this fleshly body that is prone to sin, but Christ has redeemed me. And even though I live in a fleshly body that sins, I'm covered by His blood, and I live in a love relationship now with Him. And it's not by my strength that I draw closer to Him, but by my allowing Him to live His life in me and through me in love. 2 weeks ago when I spoke, I closed by talking about the priestly blessing shows us that God desired to have a relationship with us. And there's another very prominent verse in the Jewish community called the Shema, which is Deuteronomy 6. And in that it says, listen, O Israel, the Lord your God, the Lord is God, Yahweh is God, Yahweh alone. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. The first one that I quoted, the Aaronic blessing, shows God's desire to have a relationship with us. The second one is God saying to the people, I hope that you will have a relationship with me. I hope you will love me. Love me with all your heart, with all your soul, and all your mind. Jesus used these very words when He was asked, what's the most important commandment? He said that you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. And next to that is you shall love your neighbor as yourself. God desires a love relationship with you. And it doesn't stop at salvation. That love relationship is what brings us closer to Him. Not by following a list of rules and regulations, but by living in a love relationship with Him. Let's pray. Dear Lord, thank You for Your love, for Your grace, for Your mercy. Thank You for loving us enough to take our sins away by dying on the cross for us, by shedding Your blood. Lord, if there's those who don't know You in this group, I pray that they might place their faith in You to be their salvation. And those who do know You, I just pray that they will continue to love You and love their brothers and sisters and all mankind and walk closer with You as they love You more. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.